Welcome to the Sableton Live 12 lesson on building an old-school D&B ride groove blueprint with that pirate radio kind of energy. We're aiming for something loose, urgent, gritty, and forward-driving, but still controlled enough to work in a real mix. The goal here is not just to make a bassline. The goal is to make the bass, the ride cymbal, and the drum groove act like one machine. If you've ever heard an old jungle or early drum and bass record and thought, "Why does this feel so alive?" It's usually because the groove is doing more than one job at once. There's the rolling break, there's a disciplined sub-pattern, and then there's that ride on top giving the drop a kind of pirate radio lift. That's the blueprint we're building today. Set your project to 170 BPM. That's the sweet spot for this lane. You can push a little faster if you want it more frantic, but 170 gives you that classic center of gravity. Then create four groups: drums, bass, FX, and reference or notes. Keeping things organized matters here, because D&B is all about interaction between parts, not just one loop doing everything. In the drums group, make separate tracks for your kick and snare layer, your break slice or break loop, your ride, and maybe an optional hat or percussion track if you need it. The reason we split them out is so we can shape the top-end energy without messing up the break feel. The ride is your energy ceiling. The break is your motion. The snare is the anchor. Before you start writing, load in a reference tune. Pick an old-school roller, jungle cut, or darker D&B track with the kind of energy you want. Level match it and listen carefully. Pay attention to how often the bass leaves space, how the ride sits against the snare, and how busy the break really is. A lot of producers think these records are packed all the way through, but the secret is often restraint. Now let's build the drum foundation. Load a break into simpler and slice mode, or use drum rack if you want more control over individual hits. If you want to move fast, start with a break loop and then add kick and snare on top. In old-school D&B, the snare usually lands strongly on 2 and 4, while the break provides the jungle texture around it. The kick supports the groove, but it doesn't need to stomp every beat. In simpler, try slice by transients and adjust sensitivity until the main hits are separated cleanly. If the break is fighting your sub, use a Q8 and high pass around 120 to 180 Hz. If it needs more attitude, add a little drum bus drive, maybe around 5 to 15%, but be careful not to crush it. If the break has too much width or low mid clutter, use utility and keep the important low mid area more centered. Layer a clean snare underneath if needed. Trim the transient so it hits with the break instead of against it. If your break is already long and snappy, keep the extra snare short. What you want is one punch, not two separate events arguing with each other. Now for the ride. This is where the pirate radio lift comes from. Don't just place it on every offbeat and call it a day. Shape it like a groove element. Start with offbeat hits or a simple driving 8-note pattern, then vary the velocity so it breathes. A good move is to let the ride hit the upbeats, add an occasional extra hit before the snare, and leave a small gap every 4 bars so the phrase can breathe. Put the ride in simpler or on a drum rack pad, then shape it with velocity. If it's too wide or too harsh, use utility to narrow it a bit and a Q8 to high pass around 250 to 400 Hz. If you want extra bite, a little saturator, maybe 1 to 4 dB of drive, can help. The key is to keep it raw enough to feel old school, but not so sharp that it tears the mix apart. Now we get to the sub bass, and this is where discipline matters. The sub should be boring in the best possible way. Clean, mono, stable, and rhythmically intentional. Use operator with a sine wave on oscillator A. Keep it mono. Give it a short attack, maybe 0 to 5 milliseconds, and a release anywhere from about 60 to 140 milliseconds if you want it tight, or a little longer if you want more tail. Use utility to set width to 0 on the sub track if needed, and keep it as clean as possible. Write a bass line that emphasizes root notes, with maybe a few octave jumps if you need them. But don't get greedy. The real trick is note placement. Put some notes on the end of one, let one sustain into beat 2, leave a gap before the snare, and then answer after the snare. Think in conversation, not layers. The bass should feel like it's responding to the drums, not sitting on top of them. This is a huge old-school tip. Prioritize the snare pocket. Leave a clean lane around the snare hit. If the bass is too continuous, the groove loses that classic snap. Sometimes the strongest move is to remove a note, not add one. A tiny change in note length can do more for groove than adding an extra bass hit. Now add the character layer. This is your res or mid-bass layer, and this is where the tune starts sounding like drum and bass instead of just drums plus sub. Use wavetable with two detune saws, or another harmonically rich setup with a little detune. Keep the unison modest, maybe 2 to 4 voices max, so it stays focused. Shape that layer with a low-pass filter, a bit of resonance, and enough envelope movement to give it bite on the attack. Then process it with saturator, maybe 2 to 6 dB of drive, and use EQ8 to clear mud around 200 to 500 Hz if needed. Check mono compatibility often with utility. The sub should stay pure. The Reis should provide movement, weight, and attitude. Make the Reis phrase differently from the sub. Let it answer the drums. Let it swell into the next bar. Let it open on bar endings. That call and response structure is one of the biggest secrets in this style. If the bass is too constant, the impact disappears. Bass makes the returns hit harder. At this point, use the groove pool. This is where you give the loop that human, broken feel. You don't want sloppy timing. You want controlled shove. Try applying groove to the break first, then maybe a subtler groove to the bass notes while keeping the sub more rigid. Keep timing around 55 to 65%, with very little random and only small velocity changes if needed. A really useful move is to apply the groove to the ride a little less than the break. That way the drums retain the organic swing, while the top end stays energetic and clear. In DNB, that slight push-pull against the grid is a huge part of the feeling. It's what makes the loop roll instead of just tick. Now let's make sure the bass and drums are working together. On the sub, add compressor with sidechain from the kick or drum bus. Keep the ratio moderate, maybe 2:1 to 4:1, with a quick attack and a release around 50 to 120 milliseconds. You only want a few dB of gain reduction. Don't let sidechain become a crutch. The bass should duck just enough to clear the transient, then keep moving forward. If the groove feels weak, reduce the amount of sidechain before turning the bass up. And don't forget the arrangement space. Leave room before the snare. Don't stack bass hits directly on the snare unless you really mean it. Let the ride carry some of the momentum when the bass rests. Now automate movement. A proper DNB drop breeds in phrases. You can automate the cutoff on the Reis layer, the drive on saturator, the ride volume, or even the reverb send on fill moments. A practical 4-bar or 8-bar evolution keeps the loop feeling alive. For example, bars 1 to 4 can establish the groove with a restrained ride. Bars 5 to 8 can open the ride and introduce a small bass viridation. Bars 9 to 12 can bring in a drum fill or ghost note. Bars 13 to 16 can strip a layer briefly, then bring it back harder. This is especially effective in pirate radio style because it feels like constant motion, but the loop still stays DJ friendly. You want a tune that can breathe under an MC, work in a rewind, and still transition cleanly into another record. For grit, use a parallel style texture approach. Duplicate the Reis or route it to a return. Then add saturator, maybe a bit of redux or overdrive, and high pass that dirty version so it adds edge without clouding the sub. Keep the low end clean. If the bass sounds huge in solo but weak in the mix, the problem is usually too much messy mid bass, not enough sub. At this stage, think about the arrangement. In an intro, you can keep things filtered and let the drums tease the groove before the full bass arrives. In the drop, don't unleash everything at once. Let the first 4 bars establish the identity of the groove, then reveal extra detail in the second half. Every 8 bars, consider removing one element for a moment. Cut the ride, strip the bass to sub only, or simplify to break. Those contrast points are what make the next return feel massive. A good old-school DNB arrangement might look like this. Intro with filtered drums and bass tees, then a 16 to 32 bar drop where the core groove locks in, then a switch up with a break edit or bass variation, then a return with a stronger ride, and finally an outro that gradually clears space for mixing out. Keep it DJ friendly. If the groove feels massive but there's no room for an MC or a transition, the answer is usually more restraint, not more layers. Here are a few common mistakes to watch out for. First, too much movement in the sub. Keep the sub mono and simple. Put the movement in the mid layer. Second, a ride that's too loud or too bright. High pass it, tame the harshness, and lower it until it feels exciting rather than sharp. Third, break and snare fighting each other. Trim the transients or shift the timing slightly. Fourth, bass notes on every beat. Remove some hits and let the drums breathe. Fifth, overdoing sidechain pumping. DNB needs propulsion, not a wobbling mix. Sixth, ignoring mono compatibility. Check the low end in mono and keep stereo effects away from it. A few advanced tricks can push this further. Try offsetting the mid layer slightly late while keeping the sub on grid. That tiny drag can create a more human, skanking feel. Build a three-state bass phrase, a sparse version for the first 2 bars, a fuller version for the next 2, and a fill version for the turnaround. Add occasional octave punctuation on the Reis layer, especially at the end of 4 or 8 bars. Instead of just making the ride louder, add one extra hit before a phrase change. That kind of density shift often feels more musical than a fader move. For sound design, you can also layer a very quiet noise component under the Reiss for extra air and aggression. Use chorus only on the top layer if you want width, but never on the sub. If you want more movement, automate filters before distortion. A moving signal going into saturation often sounds more alive than a static one. And if you want fills and transition hits, resample a 4-bar groove, then chop it in simpler.